Welcome to the Simply Authentic Podcast with Angie and Tanya, where we hope to inspire you to dream big and push past your fear, empower you to take charge of your own life, and challenge you to be the most authentic self you can be. Welcome back to the Simply Authentic Podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings. And we have a guest with us today. I would like to introduce Heather Malachowski. She is managing partner and interior designer for Decorating Den. So welcome, Heather.
Thank you.
Yeah. Nice to see you as always.
Yeah, this will be a fun conversation.
Yes.
So first, just tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into interior designing and that kind of thing.
Awesome. Yeah, so I started actually back in high school. I always wanted to do fine art, you know, and then I was afraid that I wouldn't make any money. So I was like, all right, what can I do where I can be creative and be analytical? Because I like math and all those things too. And it just kind of dawned on me one day how often I would rearrange furniture at home. And I just, like, you know, came out of nowhere, and I'm like, this is perfect. This is perfect for me. And so, I mean, even when I was little, I would flip-flop the dining room and the living room furniture, you know, and I would just take care of it all. And mom would come home and be like, oh, okay. All right.
Looks good.
So anyway, so that's why I decided to go to school directly for that degree. Luckily, I, like I said, figured it out beforehand. So I went to MSU. I have a four-year degree, Bachelor's of Science in Housing and Interior Design. And, you know, with that, you learn a lot of construction-y things. And, you know, you kind of learn a wide gamut of information. And then you don't learn lots of things that you should know. So.
Yeah, like in any degree program, right?
That's right.
And after that, because you'd asked me how I actually got started,
I
went straight from school. Once again, I was really blessed to have the opportunity to be an assistant for Nola Shivers, who was the owner at the time and who we bought the business from for Decorating Den. So I've actually been there my whole career, which is a 16 years this summer.
Yeah, and I know Nola has a long-standing relationship with many, many people in Springfield area. So she's a name that a lot of people will recognize.
So I was really fortunate to, you know, work under her because I learned so much that I had no idea would even come up, you know, that you they just don't even bring up in college, you know. Like, I didn't know I was going to be a salesperson. I mean, that's
true.
Wasn't my
you don't
mindset.
Like link those,
Like as far as it's like, and so that was kind of an ugly surprise. I had to learn. You know, I'm more than that. Obviously, I'm an advisor, and you know, all of these things. But you know, right when I graduated, I was like, oh, I will be working on commission. And They didn't cover any of that in school. And now I believe they do. They've added some classes and things like that at MSU. But so that was kind of a shocker.
I think that's a really good point to make, because I talk to the GoCap students and some other students, and people say, like in our industry, people say, oh, you guys had the fun job. You get to go open doors and look at houses.
Look at houses.
It's so fun. I'm like, it is fun.
It is fun.
It's stressful. But it is fun.
There is that element. Many others. But I'm sure that people thinking about getting into interior design, they're that creative brain. They don't think about the fact that they've they're going to have to sell themselves, sell items to their clients. And maybe don't have that analytical piece that you do
that
have.
I enjoy.
So I think that's a great point.
And I try to tell, you know, when we get calls into the office for interns or like job shadowing and stuff, I just try to make a real point not to scare them at all. But like, okay, this is what it is though in real life. Like it's
reality.
Great But if you can start thinking along those lines now, I'm like, you're going to be light years ahead of where I was mentally for commission job, you know, because that's scary.
Yeah, sure. Just having to be salesy in general, because you
scary.
Do.
Yeah.
So what does a standard appointment look like for you? Tell us kind of the gamut of things that you do for any said client.
Okay. So one thing we always do is a complimentary consultation. So if someone calls or texts or emails or whatever, we're going to visit over the phone a few minutes so I get a feel for what they need and I give them a little background about myself. But the first step is actually going on a home tour in their home. So it doesn't need to be picked up. It could, I don't care how messy it is. Right. I'm truly not looking at that. And people are always telling you, they're like, please don't look at the mess. And I'm like, I have seen so many things. I'm like, this is nothing.
Right. Yes.
So, but I'm truly not. I don't care. I'm looking at elements that they like and dislike. So that's their job is to, when they're, you know, as the guide, they're showing me things that they really like, things that they really do not like. So that gives me a better idea of their style right away. And then along, you know, when we're doing that tour, I'm taking notes the whole time. We're talking about their needs, like, what do you want this room to feel like? If they wanted a new sofa, how do you sit in the sofa? Do you lay in the sofa? You know, do you lounge? Very few people sit upright, you know, except for when there's company. So I need to know, do you entertain? I mean, we kind of go through all these little things that are really important that a lot of people don't think about. So with each little aspect of that job or the project, I'm going to be asking lots of questions and doing my very best to listen and write down anything and everything, because you never know what might affect part of that design, because I do want it to function.
Right.
You know, it needs to be beautiful, but it needs to be good. You know, so that's honestly my main goal is, okay, I want it to be aesthetically pleasing. I want people to feel like really good when you walk in, but I don't want it to fall apart. You know, so that's something we always have all these things going on in the back of our heads about what we think would be the best recommendation for our client based on what they need, you know? And so part of that is for me to be like, Angie, I think you need to spend more money on this sitting chair because you're going to sit in it all the time and read or sit by the fireplace or whatever. But this little chair over here is just for looks, really. So we can do something cute. It's rarely going to be sat in. So let's put our budget towards the important piece. So those are the kinds of conversations that I have with clients when we are doing this tour and just figuring out what they want. And you know, as far as after that point, I work a couple ways, really. The main way, though, that way that kind of sets us apart from other designers in the area, because there are lots and we all work very differently. You know, and sometimes I'm a good fit, sometimes I'm not a good fit. That's okay. But how we work is we do not charge our clients an hourly fee, an hourly rate. So the way we can do that is because we are like a brick and mortar retail store, except I come to you. So instead of you coming to me and looking through samples and helping, you know, at my place, I'm going to go to your house or your business. We're going to look at things that in your lighting, because everything looks different and different, you know, artificial light, natural light, all of these things. And I want to make sure that anything I'm recommending also coordinates with things you already have.
Good point.
So, because we work, most of our clients we're working with integrating things that they already have and love. And so that's a huge part of my job is making sure that the things that are important to them get to stay.
Makes sense. I'm glad you made that point because I wanted to make sure our listeners did understand that. It's most of the time not a complete overhaul in terms of what you bring in to to the space.
Right.
It's you're working with the things that the client already has. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I think a lot of people think of interior design as things, the sofas, the chairs, the things. But I love the fact that you do carpet, flooring, shades. There are so many different types of window coverings and it's just mind-blowing. Yeah. And wallpaper. Yeah. I love that because you helped me pick out some really amazing wallpaper. Yeah. And, you know, wallpaper is back in, for those of you who don't know that.
Yes, it is.
It is very, I think it is, you've got some examples of it on all four walls and, you know, a major impact. But I love the subtlety of one wall of wallpaper. I think it makes it stand out. It makes a statement. But all of those things are part of what you do.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So to that point, and I guess to continue from Tanya's question earlier is, since we are like a brick and mortar store, what we do is we have direct accounts with the manufacturers of window treatments companies, like shade companies, carpet companies, furniture companies, accessory companies, lighting companies, all of these places, you know, from around the world.
Right.
You know, we get what we can from the U.S., but a lot of it's from overseas.
Sure.
So we do what we can there. But because we have a direct wholesale account, we can sell them at a competitive retail price, just like any other brick and mortar store around town. And so that is how we make money. That's a big question because they're like, well, if you don't charge for hours, how does it work? And that is how it works. It's really a simple concept. And we have just found that it's definitely the biggest bang for your buck. Like, we want our clients to feel that they're getting a like something very valuable.
Right.
Because along with, you know, like Ange said, if I'm doing sofa and a rug and maybe new carpet in a place, part of that is I'm going to be doing maybe a floor plan for you. So I'm going to make sure, okay, whatever we're looking at, I will know it is going to fit before I even show it to you. I won't show you things that do not work. And so that's a major thing too, is my job is to narrow down. Once I know your budget and your style and your needs, then I'm the one who sifts through thousands of products to narrow it down to two or three or five that would best work. And I always tell my clients, I'm like, you need to be honest with me. You're not going to hurt my feelings.
Right.
If you don't like it, like, I need you to tell me because this is about what you like.
Yes.
And I'm not going to let them make a mistake. Yeah. You know, that's what I tell them. It's not like I'm trying to trick them, you know, like, and have two bad choices and one really good choice.
Right.
Anything that I'm showing my clients will work.
Right.
And so then it just boils down to, okay, what makes them the happiest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
See, that would be tough for me. They pick out something and I'd be like, seriously?
I know.
Yeah. You know, I really want to try to influence their decision, but you are good at that.
I know. I have to be very unbiased.
I'm sure that's a learned.
I was going to say, you learn to do that over time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I can. Not to take it personal.
Right. And I appreciate all different styles.
Yeah.
So traditional, contemporary, eclectic, anything.
Yeah.
Whereas when I first came out of school, Nola really had to drill it into me. She's like, it's not about you and what you like.
Yeah.
Don't let your personal style sway the choices you make for somebody else when it could be perfect for them.
Right.
And my assistant, Abby, she's going through that right now, too. She's doing a great job, but it's always a learning curve. And it takes a while. And then you really appreciate all different kinds of decorating styles, all sorts of interior design. But like I said, our main goal with all the decorators at our office, all of us designers, we want to make sure that our client likes it.
Yeah.
It, you know, it's not about your neighbor or your mom or your daughter or whomever.
Right.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you're the one living there or working there, and we want you to be happy.
Yeah.
With the final result.
Yeah. For sure. Do you ever have somebody pick something that's just really ugly?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, right. I know they love it, but you're like, oh my gosh, that is so ugly.
If it does work, I'll be honest, say that works.
Yeah.
I mean, I can accept things for what they are. Like, hey, I understand why you would like that. Yeah. That's beautiful for the style you're going for.
Right.
I may not want to put it in my own house,
right.
But that doesn't mean it's ugly. It just means that it wouldn't be for me.
Right, right.
But yes. Now if it's ugly and it won't look good,
right.
That's my job. That's my job is to say, you know, I think we can do better
right.
than that because, you know, yada, yada, yada. Yeah.
Right.
I give them the explanation. Maybe it's the wrong finish. Right. Who knows what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wrong but texture. That is wrong. Yeah. Part of my yeah. job. My job is to allow my clients to kind of have free reign and pick what they want
yeah.
within these limitations of my job is you're paying me in essence to help you make correct decisions.
Right.
But then there's always more than one right choice. There's not one single right answer. Mm-hmm. There's lots of right answers, but then there's lots of wrong answers for whatever reason. Maybe it's too big or too small.
Right.
Who knows why?
Right.
But I do have to tell people every once in a while, I really think we need to go a different route. Because.
Right. Yeah. Got it.
And honestly, generally, it doesn't have to do with looks. It's generally about the functionality or size and scale of something.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Usually, I can make anything work.
Yeah. Right. Find reason that it all goes together, add some other pieces.
Exactly. Right. I can make sure it feels balanced with something over on something the side else. Of the room.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So what do you think the biggest misconception is about hiring an interior designer?
I think, and I felt this way before I went into interior design, I just kind of, based on HGTV and some things, and at that time, it was all more high-end things. They didn't really have, like, well, I guess they did. We had Trading Spaces. I don't know if you remember that. That was the first HGTV show, which I thought was awesome.
Yes.
But beyond that, everything was very high-end.
Yeah.
And only the very wealthiest of people would hire a designer.
Right.
And I grew up in a small town where I knew no one who had used an interior designer at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not I did not know of anyone. So that's the biggest misconception to me is that it's just for the uber wealthy.
Right.
But one thing we pride ourselves on is being able to hit all different price points for people.
Mm-hmm.
We usually say we go from kind of medium to high. We don't want to go real low because that's where the quality thing comes in, you know. And so we have to kind of draw the line on some things that we're unwilling to sell because we'd be liable when it breaks, not if, but kind of like when it breaks.
Right. Yeah.
But we do the whole gamut of price ranges and, you know, like Angie was saying, I could do one item.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to do a whole house.
Right.
Right.
I can do a whole house.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But I do get calls sometimes. They're like, Heather, you know, we picked out that rug. I'm ready to work on that again.
Right.
Great. Mm-hmm. I'll get a text. I just did that for a client last week.
Mm-hmm.
She texted me and she's like, okay, I'm ready to revisit that now. Super. And then we work on that. Mm-hmm. And so there's nothing too small and there's really nothing too big.
Yeah.
I've also, one thing I will throw in now because it was a single purchase. I had to find an urn.
Oh.
For somebody's mother-in-law's ashes.
Oh. Had you ever had to do that before?
No.
Okay.
We did it, though.
Yeah.
Worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
She didn't fit all the way.
Oh.
Interesting.
What does one do when that happens?
Scatter the rest of one's ashes.
Have a picnic somewhere that she would enjoy.
Yes. Wow. I wouldn't have thought about that.
Me neither. So there you go. I can do that.
That's a good plug.
It is. Wow.
Oh, goodness. So do you have many projects or clients, I guess, that you go into and you have been hired to do their family room, their living space that they live in all the time. And you get there and you walk through the rest of the house. You can see some of their style, mm-hmm. and none of it makes sense. Or they haven't decorated anything.
Sure. Yes.
And they've got to start somewhere. They've called you to start somewhere.
Yes.
So do you set up a plan for them and say, you know, let's start here for affordability reasons,
right,
maybe.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, generally, yeah, because people most can't afford, of us possibly can't do a whole redesign of your right. entire house, every right. room, yes. every piece of art, every lamp. I mean, that's not reasonable.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for
so,
sure.
Yes, we do. I like to do that. Doesn't matter what price point my client is wanting to hit.
Right.
I still do like to have that overall game plan of where are we going, mm-hmm. or where do they want to go? They may not need any help or want my help with any of the secondary room.
Right.
Like, that's fine.
Sure.
You just tell me what you want me to help with.
Yeah.
And then I will help figure out, okay, I think your budget right now would best be spent towards art. Mm-hmm. In your living room.
Yeah.
Like, you have furniture. Mm-hmm. Is it the furniture you want? No. But art, I think, will finish your room and make mm-hmm. it feel new and give you the kind of pizzazz mm-hmm. you're looking for yeah. until mm-hmm. you're ready to do the next phase.
Got it.
And so I do kind of, you know, I like to help people figure out where is the best spot to spend their budget.
Right.
Especially in that multi-phase
Yeah.
situation.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, because I want them, I don't want a room to feel partially done.
Right.
And I don't want them to feel that way.
Right.
So, but I can help people with, okay, maybe they just need new lamps and a rug.
Yeah.
And it, mm-hmm. boom, pulls the room together.
Yeah.
And then later we can do furniture, whatever it may be.
Yeah. Right. That makes sense.
To make sure it looks good along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. So let's talk trends for 2024.
Yes.
Let's talk, you know, every year they come out with the color of the year, and you see lots of things about what the color of your door should be, that kind of thing. So tell us what you're seeing.
Well, first of all, just to kind of explain the color of the year, mm-hmm. There are tons of colors of the year.
Okay.
So Pantone is not the only one.
Pantone? No, mm-hmm. Pantone... if you're unfamiliar, is an organization that like categorizes and indexes color.
Got it.
Okay. So if I say I need Pantone number 51-5, that's going to be a very, very, very specific color. Mm-hmm. I can't buy that. Paint, they don't do paint. I don't buy that color from them, mm-hmm. but it's almost just a guide that a lot of people in interior design, in fashion, mm-hmm. and in advertising, they'll say, okay, reference what Pantone color this is. Mm-hmm. And that way it's kind of like a universal language.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Because I could say something's blue and you may say it's gray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. True.
And so that's what it kind of like is a universal color language.
Okay.
So they do come out with their color of the year. But a lot of people see, or I see more of this than Pantone. I see like Sherwin-Williams mm-hmm. paint or Benjamin Moore paint color of the year. And all of them are always different.
Okay.
So, you know, they each have their own like color forecasters mm-hmm. Who are analyzing, they're analyzing the economic state mm-hmm. of the world. They are analyzing runway fashion, all of these things. So right now they're kind of softer, you know, tones.
Okay.
However, last year and it's still continuing from what I've read, we're still doing a lot of jewel tones.
Okay.
So like emerald green, you know, green has been finally kind of trickled back in mm-hmm. after the blue. So blue's still always going to be great. That's very timeless. But you're seeing a lot more emerald. We're even getting into like some eggplants and plum.
Okay.
Like more, usually like an accent.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
But a lot of where we're heading is with bolder solid colors. You know, we still do, you know, I'm a big fan of pattern. I like mm-hmm. to layer patterns, but that is just very hectic for some people. Sure. Like it just, it is not pleasant to look at.
Right.
And in that case, you know, we would do bolder solids.
Yeah.
But there are fewer people are doing an all neutral look. It doesn't mean it's wrong or bad or out of style.
Right.
It's just, we're talking about what's popular.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, what you're going to see in the media. And
right.
And I try to make sure that people know that it's doesn't matter if it's popular or not. Do you like it?
Right. Yeah. Does it make you feel good?
Yeah. Do you like it enough to have for several years?
Right.
Yes. And then if you say no, like, or I don't know, I'll be like, well, let's do something different because I want you to be very sure you're going to like this.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. You know, for a decent amount of time.
Yeah.
Right.
But as far as, so that's what we're talking about with trends are just kind of what you see in the media and, and fashion world and things like that. So there are a lot of bold patterns. We're still seeing a ton of black and white, like very high contrast, kind of graphic things. If you think of like a graphic art where it's maybe a bold black pattern on top of a white background and it looks just like a silhouette of flowers or something, let's say. So bold like that.
Okay.
We are still doing a lot of farmhouse.
Okay.
We're doing that. It's getting, I would call it like a little more tailored as the years go on. So a little less shabby chic.
Okay.
So we still do that. You know, I love eclectic.
Right. Mm-hmm. Me too.
Which has a lot of shabby chic in it. You can mix that in. But as a look as a whole, we're seeing things going a hair more tailored. So instead of maybe a slip cover on your sofa, you're still going to do like a linen, but it's going to be fully upholstered, just a little tighter.
Fitted.
A little.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
A little less casual.
Yeah.
We're actually going a hair more formal.
Okay.
But approachable. I guess you'd call it approachably formal. Yeah. You know, where people still feel comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it definitely has a more tailored, I think that's the big
word. I like that word.
Tailored look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can
so are we
that.
Moving away from then the industrial farmhouse or
we're actually still doing a ton of that.
Okay.
And I was actually looking at some things for a client this morning and I was very surprised it was all industrial. Mm. And so these were like new market introductions for spring. So no, we're still doing a lot of that. I think people are becoming more comfortable mixing their looks and doing the eclectic thing. And that, once again, kind of like the pattern on pattern, that's very uncomfortable for some people. It is against their grain and doesn't mean they're not open to it, but it's kind of scary.
Yeah.
And so they don't want to try it themselves. And that's, you know, a lot of what we do happens to be the eclectic look because I think it's the hardest to do. To blend a bunch of pieces and have it still look good.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, not a hodgepodge.
Yeah.
So, but no, we're still doing industrial and they're coming out with new pieces. I am seeing a lot of stained wood again.
Okay.
Yeah. For a while it was like only painted pieces.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
That's not the case anymore. There's a much better, I would say more of a 50-50 blend now of tables and, you know, bookshelves and all sorts of things that are still stained with a wood tone rather than, or even a wash rather than painted.
So in kitchens in particular, are you seeing that as well? Because that's kind of what I've seen in the last couple of years, us go back to maybe some stained cabinets with a dash of painted in there.
Right, absolutely. We're doing a lot of new construction right now, and most of them are doing stained kitchen cabinets, but maybe we'll still do paint in the bathrooms and laundry room to keep things lighter and brighter. Like they do white or something like that. Now, with the mixing, which I love, oftentimes people in their kitchen will do their perimeter cabinets, so their outer cabinets that are against the walls, mm-hmm. Either stain or paint. And then, of course, the island mm-hmm. would be the opposite
right.
of yes. that, or yes. a contrasting color. Maybe they're both painted, mm-hmm. but we are seeing, along with the stain, we're seeing a lot of colorful cabinets.
Okay, yeah.
Which I've seen a lot of those, fun. Too. Yeah. And Angie's are beautiful. Hers mm-hmm. are green.
Yeah.
And I still love them. And they're stunning. Yeah. They're stunning. Yeah. And so that, I think, is actually probably the trendier thing, kind of the newer thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Because obviously stain
yeah.
has always been an option right. and has always been of beautiful course. And accepted.
Yeah.
But color hasn't been widely accepted mm-hmm. on cabinetry until now, it's really.
True. Yeah.
For many decades it wasn't. So yeah. so yeah. I'm excited to see that because, I mean, the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Exactly.
I love it.
Yeah.
So do you, I can ask you both this. So do you worry about on resale your green cabinets being a turnoff that, because
right.
obviously you and I both know, Angie and right. Heather, you mm-hmm. do too, because you see as many houses as we do.
Yeah, we see a lot.
That if you are showing to maybe a certain age group or a certain thinking mm-hmm. that it all needs to be white or it all mm-hmm. needs to be stained, then do you have a fear of those aging themselves out quicker
right.
than a safe choice would?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Angie,
and I
what's
think,
your answer?
I think, yeah, I know. I'm like, Angie, you go first.
I think you run the risk of that with anything. And I think... For me, when I went in and started redoing this house, I was like, it's going to be in a price range when I sell it that it's going to appeal to first-time homebuyers.
Yeah.
And that's probably going to be a younger demographic.
Yeah.
And right. I've been in my house 2 years now almost, and I love the green. I still mm-hmm. love the green. I still walk into mm-hmm. my kitchen
because
and go.
It's still a neutral.
Yeah.
It's a neutral.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
You know.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got black and white countertops, and mm-hmm. you can throw anything black or white in it, any kind of metal that will go with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're right. It is sort of a neutral. And I don't have a ton of cabinets, so it's right. not like,
yeah.
It doesn't make it too dark in your
right.
kitchen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, makes sense.
Because that would be a concern.
Sure.
Yes.
As far as a recommendation goes, I mean, I'm going right. to take that into consideration too. Mm-hmm. Even if someone says, I would like green cabinets,
right.
I might say, okay, well, because of your lack of natural light or even right. overhead lighting, good overhead lighting, true. Maybe we need to limit that to this mm-hmm. this area, like the coffee bar area mm-hmm. or right. just the island, yeah. things mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Now, as far as recommending things for resale, because uh-huh. I usually, that's one of the first questions I ask clients is, okay, is this your forever home?
Uh-huh.
What do you anticipate? I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't need to know for sure, obviously, but
right.
do you think that you could see yourself selling within 5 or 10 years? And that gives me a better clue about, okay, how kind of wild mm-hmm. we could get in certain spaces.
Right,
right.
And I know, Ange, when you sell us our homes, it's usually like, I'll be like, should we add this? And you're like, well, I mean, it's not going to add value, but if you want it,
like it. Yeah.
Yeah. and you like it, then yeah. you should do it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you're going to be there to enjoy it.
Right.
So I say pretty much the same thing. I will say, I have found that age has very little to do with your design style anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Very, I have seen that, you know, younger people to retirees, I mean, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I have some that, you know, people in their 80s, they want very modern and always
that
have.
That is surprising.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So I don't think, I think that's just a stereotype
yeah.
that mm-hmm. is yep. kind of, I think it was true for the most part.
Yeah.
But now with the internet and everything uh-huh. Uh-huh. and, you know, people being able to search for things that they like and mm-hmm. Pinterest, that I'm always very surprised at what styles people gravitate towards, because yeah. I also have young people who want formal, traditional. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They despise modern.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I just never know now. And so with that in mind, not knowing for sure, I would suggest color selections that are what I call neutral.
Yeah.
So not just earth tones, you know, like ivory and white and khaki and beige and gray and brown, but I consider green and blue to be neutrals, because I think of, I always compare it to a pair of blue jeans. So you can wear denim, blue denim, with any color.
True.
Right.
Okay. So that's that kind of blue on the darker side, not so much teal or aqua, but if you go more of a kind of a medium to darker blue, that's neutral.
Yeah.
It's a color, but it goes with everything.
Yeah.
And the same thing with the darker greens. I mean, when you look out the window and the trees, like, green just goes with everything.
Yeah.
As long as you stay in those deeper, deeper tones.
Right.
They stay neutral enough to where I think it could be appealing to anybody.
Yeah.
You know? But I would recommend, you know, rain. I probably wouldn't do green everywhere.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
On break all the it cabinets.
Up. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I love the green. I you know, it's warm to me.
Yes, I think so too.
I would never have termed it as neutral, though.
Yeah.
Or blue is neutral. So I call it neutral. So you've taught me something.
I call it neutral because, and honestly, that may not be the right term, but it's how I think of it.
Yeah.
And that's how I kind of explain it to my clients.
Yeah.
I think of it as a neutral. I'm like, because in my mind, neutral goes with everything.
Right. Yeah.
Even though there's color in it. So I know I'm sure that's not technically correct, but that's how I think of it.
Yeah.
And it helps my clients understand, you know, where my thought process is going if I can explain it as a neutral.
True.
Yeah. Blue jeans. I'm like, just think of blue jeans.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good analogy. Like
that. Yeah.
Real quick, I wanted to ask you about finishes. You know, we've gone from brass to silver to matte silver to black or bronze, and now gold is back again, but it's not the gold of the 80s. No, so
it's different.
Right.
Yeah. So, and I get this question a lot too. This is another area where people get very nervous, mixing metals.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And I get that. And here's my analogy for that. It's like when people wore brown shoes and a black belt, and it was like,
right.
Oh, no.
What are you doing? Poor thing.
Oh, no.
Bless her heart.
Oh, no. Well, that is not how people think now. It's about balance.
Yeah.
Like, I am wearing brown neutral earrings, and I'm wearing black pants.
Right.
I'm balancing, and I've got brown on the elbows. Like, it's about balancing those colors. And the same thing with metals. So a lot of times people are going to have like a stainless steel sink, whether or not their door handles are brass or black or chrome, who knows?
Right.
So I tell people, okay, if you're worried, look at your sink. Your sink's stainless. That's neutral.
Right.
You can put these other metals with it. It's fine.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of mixing, but that's where you need to think, okay, I've got black over here, so maybe I need a little over here and over here, so it doesn't feel wrong or out of place. We are doing a ton with gold. Sometimes, since the finishes are all named something completely different, that you know, you just never know. It depends on what brand you're looking at.
Yeah.
So a lot of times it's a brushed brass, and that's kind of that warmer gold.
Yeah.
And so that's the one with the striations on it, like brushed nickel.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So like it's been rubbed.
Yeah.
But we're also doing kind of a bright gold, like kind of the 24 karat, like brighter yellow gold. And go all the way into like coppers and you know, warm bronzes. So, I mean, when we say gold, you're going to see a huge range of colors.
Yeah.
Yeah. And most of these colors work together. So that's where I would say, you know, do a little research or get a professional to help you if you're unsure.
Right.
Because most of the combinations will work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But some are not very great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So I advise people a lot, like they have brass doorknobs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a giant house, that could be expensive.
Yes.
To worry about replacing all the doorknobs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, hold. Like, wait first. Let's think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know black things look good with brass.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, chrome, so shiny silver, that looks good with shiny brass.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple things you could do there to, you know, maybe you want your new light fixtures. Do those in like a brass or a black or a chrome, and then you could still have your shiny brass mm-hmm. on your doorknobs, and it's okay because mm-hmm. they harmonize with each other.
Okay.
So, but some, like I said, some combinations work, some don't.
Right.
But yeah, you know, I think people get it in their head, oh shoot, if I switch one, like cabinet hardware, like if I change the cabinet hardware in one room,
it's all going
to
match.
Everything. Yeah. Has to go. That is not the case.
That is not the case.
I think that's great to make that distinction because I know when I'm talking to people about doing little updates so that their house will sell, I think they start to think, okay, if I do this, then I have to do that, and then I've got to do this. And just
snowballs.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. You made a comment in my office when we were doing my office. There were silver, but they're more brush nickel.
Mm-hmm.
Light fixtures in my conference room.
Yes.
And I wanted to go more gold accents, that kind of thing.
Right.
So I thought I was going to have to switch out my light fixtures in my conference room. And you said, you don't need to do that. They just blend in. You don't even, and you're right. I don't even notice those.
No.
I don't even notice them at all. Mm-hmm. I don't notice that they're silver anymore. Uh-huh. It just blends right into the ceiling.
Once again, another neutral.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like another neutral. It goes with everything. You know, that's how I think of it.
Yeah. Got it.
And if you want gold, so we put in accessories or whatever it may be for little pops of gold on things that you can change, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think a lot of people are afraid of that snowball effect. And that can be true, depending on what you're working on.
Yes.
There can be a snowball effect.
Yeah.
Right.
But when it comes to faucets, door handles, hinges freak people out.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, cabinet hardware. Yeah. Those things, they can stand alone. Mm-hmm. They can't, if we're doing it correctly, you can just change one or two of those things and leave everything else and it'll be perfectly great. It'll be great.
Yeah. I love that.
Because I don't want people to spend money that there's just no reason.
Yes. Exactly.
Unless they just want to. If they want to change it, super.
Yes.
But I don't want them to feel like they have to change something.
Right.
Right.
And in our job, in many cases, we're going in and giving these suggestions that, you know, you the professional are giving as well in your appointments.
Same suggestions.
And whether or not to change out all the doorknobs and all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you've just given a lot of food for thought for people who maybe are going to update one or can afford to update one or the other.
Absolutely.
Doorknobs or light fixtures.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then maybe if they choose the right thing, they'll play off of each other and you won't have to necessarily do all of it.
No, exactly.
Right.
My thinking is there's always going to be some sort of solution. Like we can figure out something.
Yes.
Right.
The way I go into it. Like, no.
Makes it affordable.
We don't need to do that. If you want to, that's different.
Yeah.
Great.
Exactly.
For sure.
Super.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I don't want people to feel like they have to.
Right. And we don't either. When we go in, we want to make recommendations that are going to help them sell their house faster, but try to do that on a low budget.
On a budget.
Because, you know, they're not
going to be. They're leaving.
They're leaving.
It's not going to be their house anymore.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. What about grays and whites? So I work with a builder, and so we for years feels like we do the same things for a while, and then we start to kind of change direction and go a different way. And gray has been in all of our lives for what feels like forever.
I would say about 10 years.
I was going to say, I could say 5, but that's not accurate.
I bet it's
got to be 10.
Closer to 10.
Agree.
it's become more widespread and accepted within the last five, for sure. But I noticed it, and on the coast, East and West Coast, it happened many years before that. And then it slowly filters in to the Midwest, which is fine. But, you know, we're always a little bit behind what's new out here and out here. So I would say we've been seeing grays for probably around 10 years. And then before that, it was taupe. And then before that, it was more of a gold undertone. If we're talking about, let's just say, interior wall paint. Well, now we're seeing more brown come back, more warmer tones come in. But those tones mix beautifully with grays. So I would suggest maybe a little bit of each. I think there's a nice balance if you have some gray and maybe warmer stained furniture, let's say, you know, so that there's some warmth and then a little coolness, you know, from the colors. That way there's a balance. Because I think too much of the same thing, no matter what it is, is not good.
It's too much. It's too gray.
So it's like mixing metals. Those neutrals, they all go together. We're still doing a lot of gray. We still are. I will say, though, people are, I'm kind of pushing people to go a little warmer. And we would do gray accents. So before, it would be gray with a few neutral, warmer accents. And now we're kind of seeing a little bit of a flip-flop of that. But that's a good thing because you can kind of, like, you can kind of subtly change your designs in your own homes or your living room or bedroom by switching one or two things. Bedding or a throw blanket. Or pillows. You know, and lean whichever direction you want. So I tell people, you know, don't worry about the gray going away. It's still going to be there. We use it all the time in some form. But it's just that you're seeing more people being comfortable with mixing warmer neutrals with it. So we're still doing a lot of that. And white.
And
we're still doing a lot of white. White trim. It just looks really clean and fresh. I mean, it just, it's always going to look good. It's never going to go away. We are, though, on that note, doing more stain trim again. Still mainly painted. Still mainly painted. One fun combination is when you have like stained doors, but then all of your base and your door trim and crown molding are painted. And it's just a really kind of luxe look. It's just that contrast. It just looks really sharp. Or vice versa. Maybe you have painted doors and stained trim. But, you know,
I like that.
And the trim doesn't have to be white just because it's painted. We're doing a lot of dark, like charcoal colored trim, very light walls. Another trend with the trimmings is people actually doing wall and base and crown all the same color. That's another very rich look. You see that a lot in. If you were to Google it, you're going to see a lot of like home offices. You're going to see built-ins on the walls. And you're going to see sometimes even the ceiling all the way down. It's all one color. And the idea of that sounds wrong to me. But every time I see it, I'm like, oh, that looks so good. It just is. It's beautiful. And it almost becomes kind of subtle because now it's all the same. So you're focused on different things. You're focused on maybe what's in the bookcases. You're not focused on the bookcases. What are in those bookcases. And so we are seeing that as well when it comes to trim and wall color.
What about shiplap? Are you still seeing a lot of that?
Not as much.
Okay.
Not as much. Like, we still use it.
Yeah.
And once again, we're kind of going in the more tailored direction.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's different forms of horizontal sighting.
Right.
We're going to call it.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's actually shiplap. And that's kind of that's a very specific term, but people use it more broadly.
Right.
And I get that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But you're going to see different forms of horizontal sighting, horizontal wall applications.
Yeah.
We still do those. What seems to be coming back more, though, we're going less horizontal sighting and more like wainscoting.
Yes, again, seeing a lot of that.
You know, that form large geometric patterns.
Yes,
That is really kind of everywhere, and it looks gorgeous.
Yes.
And
yes.
once again, like the wallpaper, it's awesome for a focal
wall.
And so, even a lot of spec homes are going up with those accent, like walls molded walls.
I love that.
I do too.
I'm like, and that just seems like such a nice upgrade. It does. And those are just spec homes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So, so we're seeing more of that kind of geometric direction and pattern on the wall compared to horizontal. But we still see those accents. And that horizontal siding, whatever form it takes, honestly, kind of goes with everything.
Yeah.
You can put it in any style home.
True. You can.
Right.
Because it could be painted, but it could be stained.
Yes.
And then it has a whole different look.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I think of that as something that's really has turned into something versatile.
Yeah.
Yes.
That and was less farmhouse.
Yes.
Yes.
Because it started as just farmhouse.
Yeah, yes. I agree.
But started now, you can fit that in with any style, and it's going to look good.
Yeah.
Depending on, how rustic
true.
You go with those boards.
That's true.
That's the main thing.
Yeah. It's a great point. Anything else that we've left off the 2024 trends?
I don't think so. I mean, once again, the main thing, I would still say jewel tones, once again, they've been kind of slowly filtering back in. They are still everywhere. People are still using some blushy rose. It seems to be going in a little more orangey peachy direction. So it's just honestly, it's just a huge gamut as far as color goes. I think the key there is color compared to just off-whites and things.
Neutrals and everything.
And then animal print is always in.
Love animal print.
It's so awesome. And that's one of those timeless things that back when you were using real animal hides.
Right.
You know, that's where it comes from thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
And so those kinds of things always look good.
Yeah.
They'll never go out of style.
Yeah. Love animal prints.
Me too.
And my mom can dig her orange pillows out of her closet, and they're right back in style.
Oh, yes, they are. Yes.
That's what I thought of when you said going towards the orange.
It is.
Maybe we shouldn't throw those away.
Just keep everything for 20 years, and it'll circle back around.
I know.
Yeah, it'll just circle back around.
It does.
It seems to be right at around 20.
Yeah. Well, as we get ready to wrap up, Heather, you have told us so many things. It's been a real education for me.
Yeah.
Tell us a funny decorating story, a horrific decorating story. Yes. Do you have a really good story that comes to mind on the spot?
Yeah, we get so many special things that happen.
Yes.
Like you all do in real estate. You know, some are funny, some are sad, some are bad.
Exactly.
Some are just a nightmare.
Yes.
But some of the funny things that have happened, this is actually a story of Nola's I'm going to tell.
Okay.
And it's one of my favorites.
Okay.
So it kind of is a two-parter. So they were in Branson installing some draperies and a bunch of things for a children's room, okay? So it was for Christmas. So this whole room transformation was going to be the Christmas gift for the little girl.
Okay.
Okay. So they were on the tail end of, you know, installing everything and putting all of her toys back and, you know, making everything just look perfect and awesome. And somebody fell on the Barbie Dream House and crushed the Barbie Dream House, which was also part of the Christmas gift.
Oh, no.
And so they glued it back together. And it worked. The client did know eventually. So Barbie Dream House. But all was well.
Uh-huh.
The kid never knew. It's fine.
And the roof is just at a different pitch than it was.
She wouldn't know.
It was fine.
She didn't know.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, and that's at the moment is devastating.
Oh, like, for sure.
We ruined a kid's Christmas.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, it's that.
And you probably couldn't get one by
this
Amazon.
This was Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that was one that's now is funny. And it's funny because it didn't happen to me.
Right. Yes.
And then another funny story with Nola, I believe it was the same clients. I could be wrong. But we receive all of these pieces and parts for like draperies. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you're putting up a set of draperies, you've got the fabric panel part, you've got the rod, the brackets, the rings, the finials. Mm-hmm. So you have all of these little pieces and parts. So they come in multiple boxes. Well, lo and behold, they found a dead chipmunk in one of the hardware boxes.
Poor little guy.
He was dead. And so then our installer, Marshall, he just still gives her crap. They talk about Chippy. So Chippy the chipmunk, poor little Chippy. So they found, and of course, he didn't smell great. Right. So they had to run him out of the house and like kind of defume the drapery hardware and everything. But once again, funny, scary at the time because you're like,
What is that?
Yeah. And then, but now, once again, it didn't happen to me.
Yeah.
So it was funny.
I love
it's
it.
Funny.
Yeah.
Funny. Yeah. Oh, that is funny.
Well, Heather, thank you so much for a lively conversation. I've learned a lot today.
Me too.
Yeah. So
awesome.
We hope
Thanks
you have
for having me.
Too. And I want to thank Gershman for letting us use their studio. And we'll see you next time.
See ya. Thank you for listening to the Simply Authentic podcast. Be sure to hit follow so that you can see each episode as it pops up weekly.